Guys. So I said I'd do a little bit of a solo episode for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm testing out my new camera. Thank you, hobby. I love it. Number two, I wanted to maybe, I suppose, reintroduce myself and a little bit about me and what I'm about to anyone that maybe is new to the podcast. And also just to talk about where I'm at. I've recently turned 40, so I'm going to go into a little bit about that, how I feel about that. Life the last 12 months, since the first podcast started, and, you know, changing career, having surgery, and, going through, changes in my body, which have been hard. And I think this is one that will probably be more relatable to girls. Sorry, boys, but you've had a bit of time. But it's just sometimes I think us girls need to acknowledge that it's a shitty time when your body changes and you're not the skinny, you know, perfect, clear skin 20-something year old you were. And I think especially when you turn 40, you're very aware that you're going into a new chapter in your life and a new adventure. And yeah, it's been an interesting one. So look, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Clodagh. I live in Tipperary. I work in insurance sales. I'm married to Connor. We have 3 dogs, Nala, Simba and Buddy. I have a bonus son, Alex, who's incredible. And we have a lovely family unit. I did talk on the first season about parenthood, not just being about DNA. I think that's a very important subject as well, especially nowadays, blended families are so common. My taboo thing, I suppose, is I have generalized anxiety disorder coming on 20 years now. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that because there's been a few things I've come across over the last few months in particular about people having panic attacks and having such ferocious anxiety in their lives that they never had before and how horrifically scary it is. And look, the very first the very first panic attack I had was when I was 22, and I was living in Clare and I was driving along a very remote road along the Loch Derg, and I thought I was having a heart attack. And my dad had to come and meet me halfway, and I had tests and da-da-da-da-da. I was told it was a panic attack, and it was left at that. I had a few tablets thrown at me that I didn't take, and I gone with my life. I was 21, and I really wanted to not be a freak, because that's what I felt like. I felt like I was a freak. I didn't know what the fuck a panic attack was. I'd never heard of it. I didn't know anyone that had it, and I didn't want to be fucking different. I didn't want that attached to me. So I carried on. And what really helped me, funnily enough, well, not funnily enough, but I'm seeing this as a pattern and a trend. What helped me in my 20s was every time Clodagh was drunk, she had no anxiety. So by God, did I party. Every time I felt that little bit of anxiety, I had a drink. Every time I felt I was going to have a panic attack, I had a drink. Every time I went out, I drank to excess. And I think this is the first time I've actually ever properly talked about that. But when you're that young and mental health is something that's not discussed and you don't know what exactly it is that you're going through, you don't want to be associated with it. You're 21, you're living your life, you're young, you're free, you're single. All you want to do is like have fun and be normal. And I didn't feel normal, but I felt normal when I was partying and I was drunk and I was having a great time. And back then the hangovers were bad, but when you have anxiety, a hangover is like exacerbated so much worse, even when you're that young. And it just prolonged the anxiety for me. And I thought I was doing myself a favor. It was easy. It was accessible. It was cheap. It made me feel good. It brought out my confidence that I had post that night, or pre that night, we'll say, that first panic attack. But I was fooling myself. Of course I was. And I then went on and I did do counseling, and I did go on medication for a couple of years. I still always would find that alcohol definitely helped, and I probably felt my least anxious when I had a couple of drinks down. Looking back, that could have become a major problem for me, and I certainly went through periods where I relied too much on it. And you know, I was like, well, I'm not an alcoholic, I don't wake up in the morning and I don't crave drink or whatever. But I was alcohol dependent, because every time I felt anxious, I had a drink. And I would live for like getting home on a Friday evening or on a Thursday evening to have that drink, so to take the edge off. And yeah, this is actually the first time I've ever spoken about that. But oh my God, I cannot express now, looking back, how bad that was for me. I was fooling myself. It prolonged my anxiety. It exacerbated it. It put me down deeper in a hole of where I isolated myself from the truth and from what was really going on in my head. But counselling helped a lot. Going to my first counselling from about 26 to maybe 30 was fantastic. It opened my eyes to a lot, and I had to deal with some childhood trauma and face it head on, which I had never done before. And I'm so grateful for that, because that's when I started to learn. And that's where my life experience began. And I don't have a qualification in mental health. I don't have a degree or a certificate that says I'm a mental health professional. I'm not. But I'm an expert in my own mental health and my own journey, and in particular, over the last number of years, because I went on from 30 onwards doing great and doing fantastic. And then at the tail end of 2022, I knew I was having issues, hormonal issues, and then it was pointed out to me that fertility was going to be a problem and that I would need surgery. And I could feel the anxiety creeping up again. Work was very stressful. There was a lot of mitigating factors that were definitely pushing me down, and I could feel it. And in all my years and all my experience that I thought I had anxiety like down. I hadn't had a panic attack in a number of years. And I was clean living. I mean, I became an accidental pioneer around 2020, I suppose when COVID hit. And it's honestly the best decision I ever made for myself, for a million reasons. Number one, I don't get hangovers. Number two, it made me push myself out of myself in social situations. Do you know where we're all like, oh, I can't go dancing. Yeah, I haven't had enough. I need to drink a bit more before I will go on the dance floor. I mean, I've been at countless weddings now and events, and just recently was up at ECDC and no drink. And like, I won't commit to being a pioneer because I've had like an espresso martini here and there. But I definitely do enjoy the sober life. I enjoy how it makes me pull myself out of my comfort zone. But anyway, back in the tail end of 2022, I had a breakdown, and it was my first time linking in with a psychiatric team, I suppose. I thought I was going to go to a psychiatric hospital. I literally was at my limit. I could not stop worrying. I could not stop ruminating. I could not stop this depersonalization, this derealization. It was frightening. And nobody knew what was going on. And I closed myself off, except for some of my family and my close friends and my husband, of course. But I felt so ashamed. And I'm so mad now that I felt ashamed, because I had nothing to be ashamed of. And actually, that day that I pounded on my husband's chest and said, please take me somewhere, was the day I really, really began healing. And it was the day I really, really, really learned about mental health. So I linked in with them. No, I didn't need to go to a psychiatric hospital, thankfully. I just had acute anxiety. And I went back on medication. I'm still on it. I go to counselling. I just, the last 2.5 years have been such a growth for me in so many ways. And I think people's perception of me can be quite funny. I think some people don't like that I call myself a mental health advocate. Some people don't get it. Some people think maybe I'm not being real or whatever. But the main thing about all of that is that I don't fucking care anymore. And I mean that in the most respectful way possible. All I care about is my loved ones and myself. And learning that self-care is not actually selfish has been the most freeing thing that I've ever let myself have, and it's priceless to me. I lost a number of friends over the last couple of years that I thought were genuine and I thought were, I suppose, lifelong friends. But for whatever reasons, we weren't able to continue our friendship. Maybe they weren't able to cope with what I was going through. They had their own lives anyway, everybody does. And that's okay. That is totally okay. You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea, and life humbles you sometimes, and life changes your perspective on a lot of things. So yeah, it is sad. Some people I'm so sad I lost. Some people I lost for a reason, thankfully. But the amount of amazing people that have come into my life, rekindled friendships, new friendships, that I love the safe space I've created in my life, surrounded by people that I know love me as much as I love them, that like we go hard for each other, you know, we're there, we're goofs, we're messers, we can cry, we can laugh, we can do whatever we need. And I respect and love all of you so much. You all know who you are. And I'm always going to be there for you guys, whether we need time out, whether you need to take a step back for whatever reason. I mean, I think true friendship is never having to explain yourself. And if any of my friends are going through it and they need me there holding them in the middle of the night, I'll hold you in the middle of the night. If you need to just not be present for a while and retreat into yourself, I'll be waiting when you're ready to come out with my arms wide open. And that's what I love, and that's what I feel I have as well in my life. My parents and my husband have just been incredibly supportive as well. I love that I can be my true self now. And I think this leads me into turning 40. So much has changed for me this year. I've changed my job. I've started a new podcast. I've turned 40. I've gained weight, which I'll talk about shortly. I've found love for training, in particularly boxing. And yeah, I think I thought that once you kind of hit a certain age, say 30, 35, that's you. That's who you are for the rest of your life. But oh my gosh, it's not. You're just not even beginning. You're only scratching the surface. And I know that even now, who I am right now, I'm not going to be for the rest of my life. A couple of other things that have been massive for me, I suppose, in my recovery over the last 2.5 years. I used to do this thing where I used to video myself talking to myself while I was in an anxious state, or after the fact, and reassuring myself. And I stopped doing that around maybe January this year, because I don't need to see myself like that. I don't need that to pull me out of an anxious day or an anxious hour. I can pull me out of that. So with that, I've kind of learned a couple of things from various people, from people like Joshua Fletcher, Rezi, Dr. Harry Barry, Caroline Foran. I mean, there's so many experts, books. My counselor, Alan, oh my God, he's just incredible. But I've exposed myself to as much information as I can possibly take in, so as that I will have all the tools in my handbag here beside me, that when I have an anxious day or an anxious moment, I can get through it. So exposure therapy has been a massive thing for me. And what that is I've been exposing myself to things that I was hiding away from for a long time. Driving certain places, you know, only going a couple of miles, having a safety space, and all these crazy things that, not crazy, I don't like that word, all these irrational things that I thought were my safe space. When I realized my safe space is actually within myself, no matter where I am. So like I went up to Dublin earlier this year on my own, and I did something really, really, really cool. Father David Vard was there that day. That's how we met. And not only did I go up, I thrived up there. And that was incredible. I changed my job, something I didn't think I could do, because I had gotten comfortable. And that's okay. That's nice. But I knew I was ready for a new adventure and a step up in my career. And if you had said that to me a year and a half ago, I would have said, no fucking way. You wouldn't be able to do that, Chloe. But I did do it. And I'm so far so good, and please God it'll stay going that way. So doing these things that I'd made my world so small for a long time, and I'm sad that I deprived myself and my family, I suppose, as well, and my friends. But that was the headspace I was in. I had this thing also of not liking being alone. I'm being very vulnerable in this podcast episode, but I'm okay with that, because I think it's important to be real and be straight up about it. I didn't like being alone. I didn't like driving X amount before I'd get anxious. I've been alone multiple times, like normal shit that people can take for granted. And I would have taken for granted once upon a time. But now, thankfully, that's not too much of a problem. Driving can still be a little bit of a thing for me, because my very first panic attack was in a car in the middle of nowhere in winter. And I think driving in a lot of ways will probably always be a trigger for me, because I'm never going to be cured of anxiety. There's no such thing as a cure for anxiety. Like, just like there's no cure for a feeling. I mean, anxious thoughts sometimes are there to protect us, you know. Obviously, if you're in a situation that's a dangerous situation and you get anxious, that's your body protecting you and telling you, you know, you got to get out of here. But it's just sometimes it can go on a little bit of a rampage, which mine certainly did, and dictated my life and so many aspects of my life for so long. So like even going up to ACDC there, we're in the Gold Circle in the absolute fucking trenches of the concert. And there was a couple of times where it's like, claustrophobia, don't know if I can stay here. And I was like, no, I'll stay 5 more minutes. I'll stay five more minutes. I also voiced it to my husband. I said, look, I'm feeling a little bit anxious. And I stayed for the whole fucking thing. And it was deadly. But yeah, so things like that. The next thing I want to do is fly. I won't be advertising when I do it or any of that. That'll be, again, private personal time with me and my husband. But when I do it, I can't wait to share it with all of you guys, because that's going to be another win and another tick box for me. Also, another thing I've learned is willful tolerance and anxiety. Josh, I can thank you for that one. Willful tolerance is fucking powerful. It's being able to, when you have an anxious moment and it comes over you in a wave. And again, I suppose Dr. Harry Barry's flooding can come in today with this too. It's willfully saying, right, I'm going to tolerate this. It's uncomfortable. Yeah, it really is. And it feels shit. And it's not nice. But it will go. So let's just ride it out. Let's just let the storm pass. Because it does pass. And that's the main thing. That has been the kicker for me. It always passes. So if any of you out there have anxiety or depression or panic or any of those fears that can consume you, let's be honest, anyone who knows what a panic attack feels like, it is the most intense feeling, and it's actually the closest feeling a living person will ever have to dying, because we feel like you're going to die. It's so intense, it's like crawling under your skin. It's the most overwhelming feeling. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. I don't have them actively, thank God, at the moment, and please God that'll stay that way. But I never know what the future holds, no more than anyone else. But I know that I can willfully tolerate it. Is it uncomfortable? Fuck yeah. Is it annoying? Yeah. Is it stressful? Yeah. But it is not dangerous. and it is not a forecast of how the rest of your day, the rest of your week, or the rest of your life is going to be, which is why I get over it so much quicker now, thankfully. The other note I have down here about myself is I'm learning not to be perfect. A massive thing for me at the moment is insecurity that I'm carrying is my body. And I'm going to talk openly about this because even at 40, I have insecurities. And you think that, you know, when someone's of a certain age, they wouldn't be thinking about, oh, look at that girl with the perfect figure, the perfect this. I do. Like, hands up, I do. I see girls my age, girls I went to school with, and they look insanely beautiful. And I get that feeling, what has happened to me? But I'm doing the best I can. I'm working out like I've never worked out before. I'm eating cleaner than I've ever ate before. I don't smoke. I don't drink. But I do have hormone imbalances. And I'm seeing an endocrinologist at the moment because we're trying to figure out why I can't seem to lose the weight. Yes, I'm firming up and I'm like my core is tight and my, you know, my arms are strong, my legs are strong, my back and my tummy is actually strong, but that pouch, oh, that little fucking pouch. And I know you girls know, you get this, she will not fuck off, she just won't go. And I'm looking at pictures of me last year and I'm like, how in 12 months has my body changed so much? But post-surgery, that sorted out the endometriosis, please God, for now, it still seems to be okay. But I still have PCOS. I still have the hormone imbalance and a lot of shit going on there. Again, I'm still learning so much, guys. It's like there's words and hormones and body parts that I've heard over the last 12 months that I never fucking knew existed. Oh my gosh. I salute anyone who can follow all of that because it's just insane. But yeah, so I am dealing with my own insecurities that way. But I think, again, let's normalize this. Everybody feels like that, you know? And sometimes you can mourn the loss of when you see old pictures of yourself, you know, in your bikini and the little svelte figure, and you're like, oh, fuck. And how come some girls are so lucky to still have that? That's life. That's the way it is, you know? And I have to work on that myself. I have to start looking in the mirror again and actually liking what I see, and feeling comfortable with that instead of cringing, which I do most of the time. And again, perception. I know a lot of people think, well, she takes a lot of selfies. She takes pictures all the time. She's da 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 da. I do, because they make me feel good. I like taking selfies. And I like when I see, I feel that my makeup is looking nice. Because again, I'm suffering so bad with adult acne at the moment from my hormones. And there's days when I literally wake up and I look in the mirror and I cry because my skin is so bad. So when I have a good skin day or a day where I feel, yeah, I look okay, I am going to take a picture of that and I am going to take that moment. Why not? I don't feel I have to justify it. I certainly don't. And like I said, I don't care what people think, but I do think, as human beings, we are funny about these preconceived notions and perceptions we can have of others without knowing them. Like the amount of people that have like looked at my TikTok or looked at my Instagram or my Facebook that I know don't like me or wouldn't salute me on the street. And like, I find that funny and I will call bullshit on that. Why do you need to look at me if you don't like me and have no intention of saluting me? I do find that funny, to be honest. But again, the older I'm getting, the more I will call bullshit. I will call it out. I I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I'm totally okay with that. As long as I'm the cup of tea for those who love me, that's all I care about. And what I also care about is being a voice for mental health, for women's health, for men's health, for overall well-being, for anyone who has something that they've gone through in their life that fucking sucked or was absolutely fucking amazing and tremendous. I want to be a place for you to share. I want you to grab that microphone here beside me and tell that story with pride and knowing that you got through it or you celebrated it and who you are since it. That's all I want. And yeah, I want to celebrate people, and I want to celebrate people who feel, do you know what? I have a story to be told, and it's fucking important. It's important for me that I get to share and say out loud experiences I've had. And this is what this podcast is all about. And I said when I came back this year that I wanted it to be visual. I'm not sure how I feel about myself being visual on it, but anyway, it is what it is. And as you can see, there is definitely a tone. I'm always in black. This is why AC/DC suits me so much. Above in Fibbers the other day, it was like a sea of black. I was like, I am home. I am with my people. And it just felt awesome, to be honest. And another thing about that is that you just feel, I don't know, there's something about the rock crowd and the rock fans. They're just so fucking sound. And they love the music so much that there's never, like, I saw no drama, 84,000 people, and I didn't see one argument, one nothing. I love that. I absolutely love it. But yeah, so that is it. And I know over the last couple of months, I suppose I caused a bit of controversy on social media, calling out people that were using slurs, drunken slurs, and, you know, calling out people for being gay, black, mentally or physically disabled, being travellers, whatever. And I got a bit of backlash about that and about how I could do something like that when I'm a mental health supposed advocate. I love air quotes when people do that. You're an advocate. But I will always call bullshit, and wrong is wrong and right is right. And an addiction is not an excuse to be an asshole. Sorry, it's not. It's no excuse to be an asshole, especially when it's a continued one. And I will always say that it is, if you're aware of what you're doing and you're aware of what your words can do and the power of your words, especially if you have a following, you know what you're doing. You know. And I will call that out 100%. And if that makes me lose people out of my life or followers with my blue take, I am totally okay with that. But I will always call bullshit. And I will call myself out too, lads, by the way. I fuck up all the time. I'm so glad I do. Because every time I do is an opportunity for me to learn from it. There are so many things I do wrong. I mean, you know, like I was saying to Father David, I have a faith. I don't scream it from the rooftops. People don't need to know. It's something very private and something very personal to me. But like I'm always saying to God when I'm praying, help me be a better wife, a better sister, a better daughter, a better mother, a better friend. I always ask that every single day because that's what I want. I want to be a better person. And that's why I love doing what I do. I love being on social media. I love being involved in different aspects, like between my job, between the Rose of Tralee podcast and various different things that I want to involve myself more in different networks and groups, because I want to expose myself to more people, meeting new people, meet new personalities, learning from them, them learning from me. I mean, that's what this life is all about. I mean, you only get one go at a life. And if we do it right, we can make its own life. We really can. And I just want everyone to know that. And if you're out there and you're feeling shitty right now and you're feeling not yourself and you're feeling, I'm not able.
You are able.
Just push yourself that little bit more, because I'll tell you, every one of us have that feeling from time to time where I'm just not able. I'm really not. And I think if we didn't feel that, I'd almost be worried about us. We'd be like robots. And like I always say, we never question when we're happy. We never question it. We're never like, oh, why am I so happy today? I just don't understand it. But we'll always be like, why am I so unhappy? Will I ever feel happy again? Why? What is wrong with me? Da, 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 da. My number one rule for myself now is, since my recovery and since my breakdown, mornings can be my kind of vulnerable time. That's when I can feel a little bit of rumination coming in. So I have a rule that I'm not allowed to bring any heavy thoughts or decisions or any of that into my head until 10 o'clock. And by the time 10 o'clock comes, I'm sitting at my desk. I don't even remember that conversation that I've had. And again, that's another part of me facing head on my anxious thoughts, my anxiety when they come through. And yeah, so there's a couple of things coming down the tracks that I really want to look into. The podcast is staying going anyway for the next while. Please God, as long as these amazing, incredible people keep coming on. I have a couple of girls coming on now over the next couple of weeks. So it's going to be ladies. I have an amazing finale episode when that'll be in the autumn, which I'm really excited about. And yeah, there's also something you're going to maybe think I'm crazy. Maybe I am. Something that I want to do that's on my bucket list. I'm going to write a book. It's going to be a biography, I suppose, and it's just going to be my story about my life, about what I've been through, about what I've learned from it, some things that I've never shared before and never felt the need to, but I feel writing it down, I can. And it's not going to be one of these self-help guides or anything like that. It's just going to be a real story, real change, temporary, fucking struggles, still struggles, but I'm here and I'm smiling. And yeah, that's it. Now, maybe I'm mad, maybe it won't work out, but I'm manifesting that it will. And that is something that I'm going to be looking into doing, please God, in the winter. Yeah, it's going to be, I feel, something that will be very good for me, very healing for me as well. Writing it all down, I've started a little bit, so that's kind of exciting. And yeah, that's me. So I just wanted to have a little episode where I'd have a little bit of a chat with you guys. I want you guys to feel so comfortable to reach out to me on Instagram, either on my own page or on the podcast page. If you feel, geez, Chloe, I'd love to come on and talk about something. But even if you're feeling a little bit nervous about it, fuck it, let's go. There's just me and you here. And we're just sitting down and chatting. Like, if you had said to me 2 years ago that I would be sitting looking into a camera and doing an episode of a podcast on my own, I said, fuck off. My language, I know, it can be a bit crude. I need to rein it in a little bit. I do. That's something I need to work on. I know some people say they like that I curse because it's authentic. Because that's, like, I do drop F-bombs in my day-to-day life. But again, yeah, it's something I probably could work on, because I was able to go through the episode with Father David without cursing. Don't think I dropped an F-bomb once. So that's something I need to work on. But sometimes when I'm in the middle of talking about something and I feel either really passionate about it or I feel really funny about it, I will F-bomb it. And I'm going to try and work on that. But I don't think I'm going to stop saying shit, because shit is a good word. I just think it is. It's a fun word. It's a word that is part of our daily life. I'm laughing. I'm looking over there and I'm seeing my Halloween decorations in the corner. They're after catching my eye. Halloween is coming around the corner, guys. And this house transforms every Halloween. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, so that is it. It was a short-ish one. I kind of said about maybe 30 minutes, but I just wanted to, I suppose, check in, have a little chat with you guys. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I hope you're enjoying the content. If there's something, as I said, you guys would like me to talk more about and address, please, please, please get in touch. There's nothing that cannot be discussed here. It's, like I said, a safe space. There's a couple of fun episodes coming up as well, because I also want people to get to know me and my guests in a fun way as well, that it's not always the serious stories or the, you know, the life-changing experiences, which of course are incredible and amazing, but sometimes it's nice to have that little bit of comic relief, and that is my personality. And I want you guys to get to know me in that way a little bit better, I suppose. And I actually have one of my girlfriends coming on soon, Kira. She was on last season. It's still the most listened to episode, so she's coming back on soon, and we're just gonna have a very, very, very fun catch up in front of you guys and with you guys. And I'm going to put her through it with a couple of headlines and things that I want to hear her view on, and I want you guys to see a little bit about our friendship and how we interact, because oh my god, she's just so funny. So like all my guests, you know, some of them I've never met before, some of them I've come across online, some of them I've met at events, but I also want you to meet some of the incredible people that are in my life as well. So yeah, looking forward to that. It's going to be a good one. So I suppose that is enough waffling from Chloe for today. Shortest episode so far, so I did well. You weren't going to get an hour and a half out of me, but still, I managed 43 minutes. But as always, thanks so much for checking out the podcast. Please be sure and follow it on Instagram and on YouTube and on Spotify. Write your reviews, share, please, whatever you guys can do. Because this is completely a hobby of mine. There's no sponsorship, there's no payment, there's none of that crack going on. This is just simply out of the love of it. So your support means everything to me, guys. And as I always say, just be sound to yourselves and others, and yeah, just live your life as authentic and as real as you can with kindness in your heart. And that's it. It's fucking simple.
See, another F-bomb.
I'm learning. I'm getting there, guys. So look, have a great week. And as always, be sound. And I will chat to you guys real soon.